Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. That is the opening part of a lengthy Psalm 105, which tells of all God's wondrous works through Israel's history. And of course, we come here this morning to celebrate 182 years of God's faithfulness to Fraserburgh Baptist Church. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to those who are here, and welcome to those who are joining us at home. We'd like to thank especially Douglas Young from Open Air Mission, who's going to give God's word to us later on in the service, and also to our friend John Buchanan, who again is going to provide a couple of pieces in ministry in song. Just a couple of intimations. There is a communion service tonight at 6:30 on Zoom, so do join us for that. A short time of communion, breaking the bread at 6:30, and of course our Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So let's rise to sing, shall we? Our opening hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you, Anne. Let us commit this service, shall we, to our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father God, we know that hymn from experience that you have been a faithful friend. A faithful friend to us individually throughout our Christian walk, but a faithful friend to us corporately over 182 years of our history. Lord, the world has changed remarkably over the last few years, never mind over the last near two centuries. But our God has remained steadfast and true, the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we thank you for your constancy. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence and your grace and your mercy and your compassion outpoured upon us. And Lord, as we prayed yesterday, so we pray prayers of thankfulness again this morning. Thanking you for 182 years of witness in this town. We thank you for all the pastors who've served this church. We thank you that you have sustained us through various times of vacancy also. We thank you for deacons and elders, past and present, who so faithfully serve in this church. We thank you for all the other saints, past and present again, who have faithfully served in various ministries and in various duties in this church. And Lord Jesus, we know these are difficult days. Pews are empty. Less people are coming to church generally. Our church is declining numerically. We just bring that all to you, Lord. You know our concerns and our fears and our worries. But our God is a powerful God and a mighty God. And we just pray not only for the God who sustained us in the past, but the God who will sustain us in the present and in the future, asking that you'll revive and refresh and renew the work once more. Lord, we're in a needy town which desperately needs to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel. But Lord, we're called to be a gospel people, reflecting your beauty back into the world through prayer and purity and proclamation. We pray that we would be Christ-like as a witness and testimony to a dark and fallen community which surrounds us. And so, Lord, for this service today, we just pray for your presence in a special way. We pray for Douglas especially as he gives us a word from you, and we pray for health for him, that you would heal him from COVID. And so, Lord, just be with us now as we sing, as we pray, as we praise, and as we hear the word. Be in every part of our service and take all of our hearts rejoicing for the glory and honor of your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think John Buchanan has his first recorded song for us. Jesus paid it all. Thank you.
Whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin that left that crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank John for recording that music for us. Let's rise to sing, and I sing worship, all heaven declares. Let's rise to sing. Well, I would like to thank Douglas Young for joining us for our anniversary service. I'm now going to hand over to Douglas, who is speaking to us on Zoom from his home. Every blessing to you, Douglas, and thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you can all hear me okay on there. And I'm just going to share my screen with you, and so I hope you can see that as well. Is that working okay? Are we good? Hope so. All right, so anniversary weekend, and it's 182 years, so that's a long time, and a great deal has happened, as we have heard, in that space of time. But I was thinking, you tend to look back over the past year or so, don't you, an anniversary? And so here's my past year. A bit of personal life, a bit of open-air mission life, and a variety of things here. So it started in January, funnily enough. Snow on the ground, the pond was frozen, there was lots of ice, it was very, very cold. Another way it wasn't a good start to the year for me was I was planning my father's funeral and making up seating arrangements for the 20 people that would be able to come. And so that was a bit of a difficult beginning to the year. Coming into March, normally I would go down to Ripon in Yorkshire in March for a Bible exhibition and then join with a team of folks in the church there, and we'd have the exhibition. But not last year, not in 2020. We couldn't do it. COVID prevented that. But I did go. But instead of setting it all up and having the children coming in from the school or taking the exhibition to the schools, we set it up in the back hall in little sections. I did my presentation in one of the side halls. We had a green screen and the characters one at a time, so there was no chance of passing on anything we didn't want passed on. They recorded their little section, and then when it was edited together on the video, it meant that we were able to put in a background that was matching what they were talking about and who they were. And so that was quite a good thing to do, and I think it came out really well. I was quite chuffed. I took that photograph that's in the background there. I didn't take the one of the temple, though. I don't know where that came from, but Caiaphas in the temple and the Roman centurion ready for a crucifixion and so on. So they did their piece there while I did mine in front of the boards. It was all edited up together by the folk in the church. They put a lot of work into it. They also made a pack to go to the schools, and the schools are able to do a virtual Life of Jesus workshop. And so it still went down quite well, and that was something that was good to be able to do. All being well, I hope to be going to Ripon in March this year in person and have the exhibition in person with the children. But, well, we wait and see what happens, don't we? So there we are. Sometimes when nice things happen, even on a wet day, it's nice to look out and see a little deer in your garden. And we get that occasionally from time to time. Shops are all closed, though. Non-essential retail were shut for a long time. And so during that time, we were not allowed out in the open air. We had to stay at home and work from home. So lots of Zoom meetings. You might recognize one or two folks in that one. So before Andy's too embarrassed, we'll move on. Lots of video meetings. And some things are recorded in my office, which is where I am today. Other times I would be out in the garden and I'd put my script up. I discovered I can't do a video recording without a script. Normally I don't use a script as detailed as that, but I found that it was the best way of doing it. So there it is, script up on the screen, and we're getting on with our recording for the Sunday service. Another thing that was affected was the well dressings in Tissington. Some of you have heard me speak of the well dressings in the past, and it's always a pleasure to go down to Tissington in Derbyshire to run the video in the church while the well dressings are up in the village. But of course, COVID prevented that, and in 2020, we were unable to go, so I recorded a video at home. I was learning some new video auditing skills. We all had to learn a new skill during lockdown, didn't we? And so I did some video editing, and along with one of my colleagues who did the final part of it, he put together, or we put together a video which went on YouTube. And we were really pleased, actually, because it was supported by lots of people in the village down there, and they put it on their Facebook page and stuff with nice comments about who we were and what we were doing. And so we were pleased at that. And we got over 1,000 views on YouTube. That was in 2020. 2021, still restrictions with COVID, but the restrictions had lifted enough to allow us to actually go. The barns were still empty, and nobody was making up well dressings. But we went and we did our video recording in the village. And JP Ernest, who's my boss, effectively in the open air mission, but we're working as colleagues here. He even got me an auto cue to help me with my script. It was okay indoors, but as soon as you went outdoors, it was really hard to see because the daylight was too bright for it. But being in location meant we could interview some of the local people. This is Sir Richard Fitzherbert, who owns the village and is a main character in the village, obviously. So it was good to have an interview with him. And Wendy Greterix is one of the people who normally does the well dressing, and she normally dresses the well that's between us there. And but of course not last year. But it was good to be able to have that interview with her. And then standing in front of the church, where we normally have our video, we're able to fill in bits and pieces of script. So that was quite good. Only 400 views, so down on the previous year, but still worth doing because the gospel was on the video, and so that was something useful. During the week we were at Tissington, JP and I put one of our Bible exhibitions up, and we did a bit of a revamp on that. We did the one in the Amazing Acts, and so that was something that we did in between shooting video and editing and so on. So that was another useful thing to be able to do during a time when we couldn't do open airs. Eventually the shops opened and we were allowed back out, so that was good. We did things slightly differently. We, instead of offering literature to people, we had the literature on a table and we invited folk to take it, and folk even would just come along, see the table and the books on it, and they would be happy to lift something from there. And so it was a useful tool. And although we are now allowed to hand literature to people, I've still taken the table because it's another outlet for getting the gospel out to people, which is great. Now, this particular day, nice sunny day during last summer, a couple of folks have stopped to listen, this young lad here, and he's talking to Ian on my team. And the girl over here, she was listening as well, and the boy and girl had come together. I don't know whether they were a couple or brother and sister or pals or just what, but she stood a little bit back and she appeared to be listening. Then she went and stood further back and got her phone out to play with it. And I thought, well, that's my cue. I'll go and have a chat with the young lady. So I did. And as we spoke, I explained who we were, why we were there, and about the Lord Jesus. And I offered her a Gospel of John. She'd never read a Bible before, and so I said, this is a good place to start. And as she opened up the Gospel, she saw the little QR code there that says, scan me on it. So she quickly got her phone, scanned it in, and within seconds, she was on the Open Air Mission website, where she was able to look at things she could listen to, read, or watch on video. And, oops, it's gone too far. So she was able to do that, and she got engrossed in the question and answer session on the website there. So I just left her to it. But it's interesting just handing out literature, seeing how folk react, and it's not just books, it's websites as well. So you saw this a second ago, family time, and it was my grandson Daniel's birthday. He looks as though he was 7 by the number of candles there, and that was fine. One day we took them over to Largs, which is quite near where we live, and ice creams all around, so that seemed to go down well, particularly with Rebecca. We occasionally had a barbecue with the family in the garden when we were allowed, so that was nice. The Waverley down at Largs is nice to see. We got given vouchers for Christmas and couldn't use them because we were into lockdown on Boxing Day, but on the 1st of July, our wedding anniversary, we were able to go out for a nice meal and use our vouchers, so that was good. Then in the summer, I went to Team Ranch. Now, normally the Team Ranch have their campers and dormitories, but no dormitory accommodation allowed. You're only allowed one person per room. And so all these little tents appeared, and each person had a tent, and that allowed them to have their camp not quite as normal, but very close to normal. And so that was really good. All our meetings were held outside. So we were around the campfire sometimes. But actually, it was really hot in that week in the summer. And most of the time, we, in the mornings, had to take the children under the cover of the trees to give them some shade because it's so hot. I mean, how often does that happen to us? Anyway, it was good to do that. And in the evening, they'd made a new gazebo because they knew they were going to have to do a lot of outside stuff. And so our meetings were in the gazebo in the evening. So that was a good opportunity of something which went almost like normal. I joined the Christian Answer United Beach Mission team in Edinburgh, which is something I've done a few times in the past during the festival. And so it was good to go there and do some open airs with them. But one interesting feature of it was we sat outside for the team devotions so that we could sit there and not have to wear masks and so on. So it was a kind of interesting thing, socially distanced and outside for devotions. A bit odd, but that was a way of doing it. More family stuff. Rebecca on the left started school. It was her first time going to school this year, so last year. So that was an exciting thing for her. And big brother Daniel pleased as well. Then my lawnmower broke. That wasn't so good. And I'm trying to work out what parts I need to order. At the beginning of the year, I got a new chair, ordered it online. And the chair came, put it together, and during last summer it broke, and so I had to get a new section to screw onto the bottom of it. Ups and downs of life. Not everything goes well. Sometimes we think when we look at social media that everything's wonderful, but actually it's not always, is it? There are times when things are not so good. I tried a new venture in the open air. The gentleman in the picture was brought up in Rutherglen in the edge of Glasgow, and he said, come to Rutherglen and have an open air. So I did. And look at all the people that are there on that street. It was so, so busy. Well, we did two just in case it was busy on a second day, but it wasn't. So we're not doing that one again. And, well, that's just the way these things go. If you don't try, it'll never be successful. And if you do try and it isn't successful, well, that's just too bad. So there we are. More Zoom meetings. We at one point thought we might escape from Zoom, but it wasn't to happen. And so we're back on the Zoom calls. And that was in the autumn again, just the way it works. And we're on Zoom again today. So, yeah, it's all there. More interesting maybe for some is holidays. So the caravan came in useful, but I discovered when we went to use it that the floor was all sagging and water had got in. So I had to repair that and lay a new carpet. And because we got a new carpet in the caravan, Marion thought we should have a new carpet in the living room as well. So that was that. But caravan holidays, we were able to go away to various places, right away up to the north of Scotland. And first time I'd ever been at John O'Groats. And I went to Dunnet Head. Now that's Dunnet Head, not Bunnet Head, just to clarify for you, okay? But we went away up there, and we also went down to the Lake District and things. And because there were so many Zoom meetings and such like, we could go to these places and still be at our own church a lot of the time as well. So that was quite useful to be able to do that. I went to Lanzarote as well. Didn't take the caravan there. We went on a package holiday thing. And it was part study week, part holiday for me. And unfortunately, after I had booked it, the Open Air Mission decided to have a conference for a few days while we were away. And so, well, I just had to join in on Zoom. And that was the way it went. But never mind. At least the technology allowed me to do that. Coming back, of course, we had to take our COVID tests to prove that we were negative. And that was fine. Of course, we've been doing lots of these tests, haven't we? And what day was it? Friday. Yep, Friday. I took a test on Friday, and there's a little line against that T, which means currently I have COVID. So just as well that I'm not in person with you, and that you're kept safe from that, away from me today. So that works all right. I'm not really getting any great symptoms. I feel as though I've got a cold, but other than that, I'm all right. There's nothing too much wrong with me. Back home, back to open airs. and the rain in the winter in Glasgow, it's not always pleasant. I don't usually go out if it's raining when we start, but sometimes the rain comes on, or even just it's been raining and gone off or stuff, and generally wet. But it's not always much fun, but we do it anyway. In November, we had another little grandson born. It's little Jacob, to Andrea and Jill, and there he is. And so that's a little brother for Samuel. And he's delighted with his little brother. Coming up to Christmas, then Marion baked a cake. She doesn't do this very often, not for Christmas anyway. But she baked a cake, and I got the job of putting on the marzipan and the icing. She seemed to think it was similar to plastering, so I should be good at it. Don't know why she thought that, because I'm not really good at plastering either. But I think you will agree it looks not too terrible. He certainly tasted nice. And that's because Marion baked it, so that was okay. Then another family day out just towards the end of the year, which was very nice to enjoy that. Last year we also went from fuel prices, which were 115.9 for diesel, which is what my car uses, to 147.7, which is just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? It's about a 30% increase in the cost of fuel. And, of course, that's reflected in gas and electricity as well, and various other things will be affected too. So, it's been not such a great year. One of the highlights of the end of the year for me was when the calendar got removed, because it's a cat calendar, and I'm not a great fan of cats. But then I discovered there was a new one up on the fridge, so that wasn't so good. I prefer my calendar kind of like this. It's an Excel spreadsheet on the computer, and I find that works for me, and it's good. But at the end of the year, when we look back, we also look forward, don't we? We put our new calendars up, we make our planner charts, and we look forward. And here, I want to come to what the Bible has to say. And it's in Philippians chapter 3, "For one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And I thought, that's what we do, isn't it? At the end of the year, we forget what's behind. We've come through our ups and downs. Everybody does, some more extreme than others. But nevertheless, we go through our various issues of life and our joys of life. And there's a whole variety of these things. But we can't live in the past, can we? We strain towards what is ahead. And straining implies effort. We put energy into it. We're moving on. We're going to what's ahead. And we press on toward the goal. We want to win the prize. We really put effort into it. And that's what we want to do in our Christian lives, is to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's a great thing, isn't it, to look forward to that and to really put the effort in to winning that prize and to racing there. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of a runner. And Laura Muir is a runner. And my connection with her is not very close. She is a vet in the east of Scotland. And when she was doing her studying to be a vet, she studied alongside two people that I know that are vets as well. And so I've kind of become aware of who she is because of this couple of friends of mine. She's also a runner for the Great British Olympic team. And so she ran the 1,500 metres. That's her race. And she was putting all her energy into it. 1,500 metres seems like a ridiculously long length for me. I can't run the length of myself, never mind that. But she was running 1,500 metres. And she's done it on numerous occasions. And she has done really, really well. And there's been times that she's come close to winning a medal. And in Rio, then the Olympics, which I think was 2016, then she was doing really well, and she, with only 200 meters to go, she looked as though she was going to win a medal. But in his last 200 metres of a 1,500 metre race, there were various people past her, and she finished seventh in the race and didn't get a medal. The following year in the World Championships, she finished fourth. And just to give you an idea of how good she actually is, although she was only fourth, she was 0.07 of a second behind the person that won the race. It was so, so close. And you think, running all that distance and there's less than a second, there's less than 0.1 of a second between the winner and the gold medalist, therefore, and the person who comes fourth and doesn't get a medal. So last year, she was in Tokyo and she was running a race in the Olympic races, and she was determined she was not going to be fourth and that she was going to get a medal. And she put all her effort into it, and after the race, she just collapsed in a little heap because she was so exhausted. But then she was able to get up and rejoice because she came second and she got a silver medal. She was pressing towards the goal. She was really putting all her energy into winning that prize. And she was delighted to do it. And that she was said afterwards, she was so determined that she was not going to be fourth, that she was going to win. She put everything she had into the race. And that's what we should be like in our Christian lives as we run our Christian race. So another few verses from the Bible to help us to think on that and focus on it. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the author and finisher of our faith, if you remember the authorized version like I do. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And really, I want to focus on the first of all in this section here about let us throw off everything that hinders. In a race, there are things that would keep us back. And maybe you've seen marathon races where people would dress up in a fancy costume and they would do their best to get around the marathon. But these people are not running to win, are they? They're running to be seen. They're running to show off their costume. Now, in our Christian lives, we should not be showing off, but we should be throwing off everything that hinders. So we don't show off how good we are. We throw off the things that keep us back, the things that might not do us good. And sometimes they're just ordinary everyday things. Other times it's sin, and it's a sin that could easily entangle us and drag us down and prevent us from getting that gold medal or silver medal at the end of the race. It would keep us out of the medal podium, if you like, because of the sin or the things that keep us back. There's a whole variety of things these could be. And sometimes people would use bad words or wrong words or use the name of God in their own way. And we've got to watch our language. Sometimes our language needs to change. And Colossians, Paul writes there saying, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. And so not to be swearing, not to be cursing, not to be taking the Lord's name in vain, but full of grace. Or maybe we need to stop spreading gossip or telling lies. I love the phrase you use in Fraserburgh for that. Up in the broch, it's Hannah News, isn't it? And that's great, isn't it, as we share our experiences. But remember, when you hear news, then think, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? you know, these are the things that we need to think about. And it's good to fellowship with each other. It's good to have friendship and all the rest. But let's watch our language and the things that we say. And then, of course, you get people who steal something, and we're told in the New Testament, again, let him that stole steal no more. You know, and I don't imagine there's an awful lot of people picking pockets in the Baptist church. But sometimes we might steal in other ways, and of course we have to watch that we don't do that, whether we're stealing our employer's time or even things that you might otherwise think that come across your path and you think that would be okay. But not everything's so black and white. I mean, some things are obvious, aren't they? And I think these past ones were. But some things are not so black and white. Look at that old telly. My goodness me. That takes you back a year or three, doesn't it? Some of you youngsters that are tuned in today don't know what that is. But there we go. Well, there we are. So, you know, you're more used to this kind with the curved screen and all the different things on it. Smart TV and lots of apps on it. And that's the thing. But we've got to watch that the television and all the various apps that are available for us, they can be useful. There's lots of good programs to watch. There's lots of sermons to watch on YouTube and various things that can be good. But there's a lot of stuff there that would just waste their time. And even things that would be even more harmful than that. So with our televisions, we've got to be careful, haven't we? And hobbies too. And golf apparently is good for your mental health. The walking and the exercise and the fresh air and so on. But we've got to watch that we don't spend so much time doing that, that our spiritual health is affected. There's a balance to these things, isn't there? And then, of course, computer games, or video games, some people call them, or there's a whole variety of names. But you know what I mean? And there's a report out this past week that's saying that these things can affect our mental and physical health. They're addictive. And so we need to watch our time. And they were recommending that you don't spend any more than 10 hours a day playing video games. And I just thought, what? 10 hours a day in video games? That's just awful. 10 minutes maybe is about right. Right, so, but you've got to work that out as to how long is reasonable. Don't let it take over. Or knitting. Knitting can be useful. As long as the sleeves are the same length and the thing fits and it's not all baggy or whatever else. So that's all right. But don't let it be an addiction. You know, there's a whole variety of different hobbies that can be good, but we've got to watch they don't take over. And sometimes we're just so proud of our car. They can be useful, but our car shouldn't be our pride and joy, always out polishing it. And I don't know whether that's just an old photo or whether it still looks as good as that today, but whatever, anyway, they're useful things, aren't they? But we've got to watch we don't allow that to become our idol. Or God, so what's that? And so, yeah, sports, another one, isn't it? Exercise has some value, Paul writes to Timothy, but godliness has value for all things. And so we need to be careful with our sports and stuff as well. Excuse me. So success is another thing that people push towards. And we've got to watch that we don't do that to the exclusion of all else. And yeah, so we move on. Success can be good, but we've got to watch that it doesn't take over. And reading can be good as well. And that can be good for your mind and your soul, provided it's the right book. This is one I read on holiday, Alan Sugar or Lord Sugar's biography. Good holiday read. But again, we've got to watch that we don't allow these things to take over. I can remember as a youngster reading books into the night time under the bed covers and so on, and thinking my parents would be annoyed. I think they might have been if they found out, but don't think they ever did, so it was okay. But holidays can be good, can't they? But again, we've got to keep a balance in these things. And whether you're away somewhere nice and hot and sunny, or whether you're having a staycation on the beach, and that's my idea of sunbathing at home, is with your coat and your boots and your everything on to make sure that we don't get too cold. Although sometimes at home you get stunning scenery, don't you? And it can be really lovely. even if most of the things in that picture are man-made. But holidays can be good. Make sure you worship your creator on the holiday and just follow that through as well. Comfort zone is we like our comfort zones, those places that we like, my happy place, you know. But as somebody said, and I don't know who said it, comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. And that's not going to help us run a race, is it? And that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Again, I think the thing is obvious there, that we need to get out of our comfort zone in order to run that race for God. So we have to throw off the things that hinder, the sin that easily entangles, and that get rid of these things, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He has run the race, and he's given us a wonderful example, and he's also giving us the ability to run the race as well when we trust in him. So we run with perseverance. On the 31st of December last year, this young lady, a friend of mine, put a post on Facebook, and I thought it was an interesting thing that she said. She said, "I hate running so much. I've tried it umpteen times and I give in every time after a few days. When I saw that Prostate Cancer UK were challenging people to run the distance of a marathon over a month to raise funds for them, I thought, if that doesn't get me running, nothing will. Dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer a few years ago, and thanks to an early diagnosis with prostate cancer, and amazing care, he's still in the clear today. This is a cause that is so close to our hearts, as it's not just our dad that's been affected by this disease, but also our granddad and other loved ones too, who are sadly no longer with us. Over the month of January, my siblings with their spouses and I are all going to try and run 26.2 miles to raise funds for this worthy cause. I know January is often a tight month, but if you could spare even a pound to support us, we'd be so grateful." So they set up their giving page, and they got themselves organised with all the right gear to run, with the T-shirt with Prostate Cancer UK on it, and the logo. And my friend set off on the 1st of January for her first run. "First mile in the bag," she says later that day, "and within 30 seconds I remembered why I hated running so much and couldn't believe I'd signed up for this. For runners, this will look pathetic, but I've got to start somewhere." And she's put up there the map of the place that she ran and the distance and the time. And she's saying, for people who run, that's not very impressive. It doesn't look that great. It's not very far. It's quite a long time to do that short run. But she started. And she's also started, and she remembers why she hates running. But she's doing it. And it's got going. So that's good, isn't it? So, yeah, that's what I should have shown you earlier. There we go. So 3 weeks later, she's still running, and she says, "I really, really just wanted to sit on the couch tonight, but I'm running out of nights to get the miles in, so managed to pull myself together and go and do 5K. Now, why you run miles and do 5 kilometres, I don't know, but anyway, it took me 8 minutes longer than my 5K on Sunday, but I got there eventually. Only 9 miles left to go. Thank you so much to everyone who's donated. It's appreciated so much," she says. And you can understand sitting on the couch is preferable to going out for a run. And I know that, because that's how I would feel all the time, sit on the couch. Maybe we felt like that in our Christian lives as well, that we just can't be bothered going to the prayer meeting or even to the Sunday morning service. Or maybe even for our daily devotions, we just can't be bothered. We'd rather sit on the couch. Well, for your daily devotions, you can sit on the couch and still read them, so that's okay. But come on, we need to run the race, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who went to the cross And what an example that is. So we look to Jesus and we see how he suffered so that we could be saved. And if Jesus did that for me, no sacrifice I make could ever be too great. And I think it was somebody famous that said something like that once. Might have been Jim Elliot, but I'm not sure. But there we go. No sacrifice I make could ever be too great. I was looking for photographs of runners, and I came across this one, and I thought, that's posed. That's not a proper run. If you can see the photograph and look at it, you see it's a very smooth path. There's a nice sunshine scene in the background, and a few friends, the runner on, and well, running's not always like that. Maybe occasionally it is, but it's not always like that. I remember seeing a race once, and that's my wife Marion in the picture in the bottom left. I'll not say that's the best view of her because she's watching this morning, and I'll get into trouble later if I say that, so I'll not say it. But this race was up a hill as part of the course. It was a really steep hill. And as they go up the hill, they're using ropes in order to pull themselves up and to not fall back down and keep themselves safe. And so they put that effort in. It's not an easy path, not an easy run. It was tough going. And you could be tempted to give up. But there are people there to monitor and to encourage and to take photos so you can boast afterwards, see the lady with the big camera. And having passed one race marshal, the racing person here doesn't look as though he's going very fast, but his eyes are on the next one. Small steps, small stages, and that helps. And eventually they get up and there are people there to cheer them on, and the spectators encourage, whether it's friends or relatives, I don't know. In our Christian race, our brothers and sisters in Christ encourages. And sometimes we feel that race is really steep, it's impossible, we can't do it, it's too much, and we want to give up. But we shouldn't give up. Think of small steps. If you were to try and go from the living room and the ground floor of your house and go to the bedroom, which is the upstairs, but if there were no stairs, how would you do it? You wouldn't be able to do it in one single step, it's too big. But with stairs, you can take small steps, and with a series of small steps, you can make that change of level and you can get to the top. You can make that massive change, that big change that takes you to another level. So as we run our Christian lives, what small steps or changes can you make to run the race better? Maybe you can encourage someone who's not as far along as you to make some small steps too, and to run the race better as well. Maybe it steps up the path to church that we need to take. I'm sure you recognise that. And get ourselves inside and to listen to the Word of God and have fellowship again. And maybe that's a small step that some of us need to take. I don't know. We also need to have our Bibles and to read them and to have our daily devotion time with God. And there's lots of high-tech apps and websites to help us in that and to to read the Bible at a place that suits you. And YouVersion has various plans that you can read and to go along with that. Alistair Begg produces an app for your mobile phone, and that might be something that's useful for folk. Might be something, an app on your phone, or maybe you prefer an actual book. And there's various books that you can use, from a book for the whole year or a book that does for a few months. Our Daily Bread, United Christian Broadcasters do it. And there's various things available. But be encouraged. Lots of people running the race with you. And these people can help you pace yourself so you don't run too fast and trip yourself up. They also help you not to fall behind and to keep up if you are. So let's encourage each other and to help us in our Christian race to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we consider him who endured opposition from sinners, so that in our race we'll not grow weary and we'll not lose heart. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one that gives us the strength to keep going. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we keep on going and we follow him. May the Lord bless you as over this anniversary weekend and on into the next year. And I trust you know the Lord's presence as you meet together in the church and as you study the scriptures together and you worship the Lord and serve him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Douglas, for your word to us. We're going to enjoy John Buchanan singing again, The Holy City. Thank you, John.
Beside the tideless sea,
The light of God was on its streets, its gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
We thank John Buchanan for his ministry and music to us over this weekend. Let's rise to sing, shall we, our closing hymn. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, very apposite for an anniversary weekend. Let's rise to sing. Thank you. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you all now and forevermore. Amen.